Good evening and welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where PGA and LPGA players, legends, and top instructors go to share their stories, insights, and playing lessons. Join Chris every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as he talks with the greats of the game. Tonight's show is sponsored by the French Lick Resort, Ben Hogan Golf, the PGA Tour Superstore, Two Under, the Salt Creek Golf Retreat, TaylorMade Golf, the Bobby Jones Apparel Company, and Super Speed Golf. Now, here's your host, Chris Mascaro.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special Sunday edition of Next on the Tee. I hope it's a beautiful day wherever you're at, and if not, well, I hope we can brighten it up a little bit for you. Today is a special edition because I recently had the privilege of spending some time with Brent Dornford. Brent is the brand manager over at Old Head Golf Links over in Ireland. And folks, if you're not familiar with Old Head, please Google it while you listen to our conversation. I know we just saw the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach and how beautiful that golf course is, and it really is. I'm taking nothing away from Pebble Beach. But Old Head might just be the most beautiful golf course in the world. It sits on a peninsula that reaches 2 miles out and 300 feet above the Atlantic Ocean. Again, over in Ireland now. It's simply an amazing piece of property. Look, you guys know, I've always said Augusta National is the number one course on my bucket list of places that I would love to play one day. St. Andrews being number two, Old Head is now number three on that list, with Oakmont and Pebble Beach rounding out my top five. The grandeur of Old Head, from the course layout to the views and the surprisingly great weather, which you're going to hear Brent talk about. Going into the interview, my misconception of it was being, you know, over in Ireland, boy, weather must be a challenge. But you're going to hear Brent talk about how great the weather is over there the vast majority of the time. So much so that they've got palm trees growing on the property. It's simply beautiful, and I think you're going to agree with me that it is one of the top bucket list golf courses that you're going to want to play as well. Folks, as always, thank you so much for being here and checking out the show and taking the journey with me here. Now, here's my conversation with Brent Dornford, brand manager over at Old Head Golf Links. Now joining me on the French Lick Resort guest line is Brent Dornford. Brent is the brand manager at Old Head Golf Links over in Ireland. And folks, if you're not familiar with Old Head, please go online right now to oldhead.com to follow along and look at the amazing piece of property while we're talking about it here. In my opinion, it is the most amazing piece of land, let alone golf course, I could ever imagine. It's a peninsula stretching 2 miles out and 300 feet above the Atlantic Ocean with a golf course on it, no less. When I was doing the research, I was blown away by what I was seeing with respect to the course. The tagline on their website, the most breathtaking yards in golf, and I completely agree with that. Prior to his current role, Brent was the key account manager for Bushnell Performance Optics, and I'm honored to have him with me tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Brent, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Chris, no, it's a pleasure, and thank you for the nice introduction. Certainly we're very privileged to work here, and we've got a beautiful sunny day here right now, so lots of happy members and guests.
Yeah, no doubt you do. And we'll certainly spend a lot of time talking about what you have over there at Old Head, Brent. But I want to start out by first talking a little bit about you and your time in the game of golf. So just from the beginning, when did you first start? When was the love affair of golf for you first born?
Well, it was actually a friend of mine in school whose father was on the European tour, a chap called John Morgan, whose son Graham Morgan was in my class at Caldy Grange Grammar School, and it was he who kind of got me hooked. I kind of dug out an old 7-iron that my father had in the shed, and the love affair was born, really, and stayed with me. I went to study a marketing degree, and as a result of that, did a project with a golf company, who were fairly embryonic at the time, Hippo Golf. It was just being born, actually. I came in as their kind of marketing manager, and we went on to sponsor the likes of John Daly and Ian Woosnam, good drinking partners, both of them. And we became quite a successful global brand. I ended up looking after the global distribution for them. So we had effective distribution from New Zealand upwards. It was fun times.
Yeah, no doubt. So, I mean, you can't throw that out there about John Daly and Ian Woosnam without, taking that a little bit further. So what was it like being around those guys?
No, fantastic. Both big-hearted individuals. To be honest, yeah, I spent a lot of time with both of them. If you like shooting infomercials, whether it was at Woosnam's home in Jersey or John Daly's home in Arkansas, a fond memory is spending like 3 days with John and a Japanese film crew, and John would host all of us in the morning, making coffees for the whole crew. Sharing some of his stories and even playing a bit of music to us in the evenings. Very good guy, and certainly helped us spread the word of the Hippo Giant Driver was something that we had at the time, and obviously with his prolific hitting, he helped us get that global. Yeah, good guys.
And he also spent some time over with Bushnell. How did you go from Hippo to Bushnell?
So Hippo to Bushnell was, Bushnell was actually after working for a company, Ely Hawk, for a number of years as well. Time flies by. Ely Hawk were a shotgun manufacturer, traditional cartridge supplier globally again. So I looked after their global distribution, and then an opportunity came up with Bushnell that kind of took me back to my golfing days. And as you know, they're the dominant force in and lasers and increasingly GPS. And so went to work for them, increased their European business, and then it's actually my father-in-law was he built Old Head along with his brother. And there came a point where he said, well, you know, enough's enough. We want you kind of coming in here and doing some work with Old Head. So I didn't just want to come in here as part of the family. There was an opportunity to kind of grow the business here in terms of the properties, which again we can go into. But we're at a particularly exciting point in time now where we're adding to the clubhouse, creating additional suites. We've purchased a farm just down the road on the headland where we're going to put some lodges and also a hotel site in the town of Kinsale. So yeah, it's a very dynamic place to be at the moment. So that's my kind of my lot here, as well as the marketing facet.
So when was the first time you saw Old Head, and what was it? What was the reaction the first time you went out and saw the property and what was going on there?
Yeah, jaw-dropping, without a doubt. So it actually opened on the 1st of June. Again, I'll happily take you into some of the history prior to that, Chris. But in terms of my first visit, it opened on the 1st of June, 1997. My first visit would have been the following year with my brother. It was a friend from New Zealand back in the Hippo days. He was our distributor, and we were talking of Cowrie Cliffs and Cape Kidnappers, where I'd been fortunate to go with him. And he said, you do realize that the most spectacular course in the world, even including these two, is actually on your doorstep. And I was like, what, really? And he said, yeah, old Head Golf Links over in Ireland. So sure enough, having pointed us in that direction, I said to my brother, come on, we need to get on this short flight an hour from London. And Eric Faison-Clewett, the man in New Zealand, was exactly right. Yeah, no, it was incredible. And that was back then. And it's obviously, that was when it was a year old and less defined than it is now. But you could see what it was going to become. Just incredible, Chris, to be honest. And I'm just saying the same words that a lot of people who come and play here for the first time, it's fantastic to see their reaction. You know, we obviously are fortunate to deal with a lot of privileged golfers who get to play the best courses globally. And the consistent message that comes back when they've played here for the first time is that's the best, the most spectacular course, the best golf experience I've had, which is, yeah, super satisfying.
So to your point a moment ago, Brent, talk about the history of Old Head, because it's got a very rich one, complete with castles and moats and drawbridges and everything I think that we would imagine that would have been going on at a piece of property like that since the beginning of recorded time.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's an ancient headland, if you like. It's a national monument in Ireland. It was actually owned by generations of farmers, passed on from son to son over the years. it was always private land, if you like. And it passed into the hands of Michael Roach, having been through five generations of farmers. And he was the member of the family who finally said, enough is enough. And what am I saying there is that it was a difficult place to farm. He had livestock on there, and a lot of people were trespassing with their dogs. And sadly, livestock was kind of going off the edges of the cliffs. So it was, you know, it wasn't commercially viable for him. And he was the one who said, actually, I'm going to put this on the market, and we'll focus on the rest of the land that we've got further down nearer to Kinsale. Believe it or not, that it was, I mean, this is going back to 1985. He put it on the market, and it was actually on the market for 5 years. And the O'Connor brothers, John O'Connor and Patrick O'Connor, who were from Kerry in Ireland and had subsequently moved over to London and become successful property dealers whilst maintaining their roots in Kerry, were traveling backwards and forwards. And at one of these trips, they actually got fogged in to Cork Airport. This was in 1989, and rather than go to the local pub, it was Patrick who said, well, why don't we go and have a look at the old head that's for sale, just to go and have a look, being that it was only 20 miles down the road. And they saw it, and they kind of fell in love with it. I think secretly John O'Connor had it in the back of his mind that he wanted to develop a golf course. Patrick was kind of, well, you know, even if we put somebody on the gate and just charge people to do this beautiful walk, you know, it's got to be, it's viable. You know, it's 200,000 punts was the investment. It's incredible deal. And so they had meetings with Michael Roach and a property broker, Dominic Daly, and ended up signing contracts shortly after to acquire the old head as a beautiful piece of land.
So from there, obviously a golf course plan, you know, is birthed. So Brent, talk about the design team, how the whole, you know, layout of the golf course came about, and who some of the folks were that were involved in putting the golf course on that piece of property.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it came about that they decided they had this mad notion to build a golf course. Everybody said it's impossible. You're going to be throwing your money down the drain. I had an interesting conversation with the lighthouse keeper, who was one of the people who agreed that they'd be mad but watched as this thing was born in front of his eyes. And it was the perseverance of and the vision of John O'Connor, who sadly passed away. It was his vision and determination that was the driving force to strike the idea through. And it was Patrick who was and he would admit, who was effectively funding it, putting the funding behind John's vision. John would travel the whole world with an agronomist, just picking the most beautiful plants and working out what could survive here. In terms of the design team, they had Eddie Hackett was one of the first guys. It was actually a collaboration of designers, Chris, who kind of came together. Eddie Hackett, who was involved in the design of the likes of Carn and Waterville, he was one who first put a plan together. Joe Carr, the famous Irish amateur who'd never actually designed a course before, but John O'Connor said to him, "Look, Joe, we'd love to have your input." So he came into the equation as well. Patrick Merrigan, who was one of the designers of Waterville, along with Eddie Hackett, was introduced to John by Liam Higgins, who was the pro at Waterville, and the man who put the final piece together, if you like, was a chap, Ron Kirby, who's the youngest 84-year-old I'll ever know. He was Jack Nicklaus's right-hand man. He was over here at the time working on, of course, Mount Juliet. And he was introduced to the O'Connors, and so it was that collaboration, and forces joining together that came up with the beautiful course that we have in front of us today.
And Brent, one of the things that I find remarkable is something that you were sharing with me off the air, because with a stretch of property that reaches, again, 2 miles out into the Atlantic Ocean, it's a peninsula, and you're exposed on all sides to the salt air and to the wind and to the elements. But yet you saying, you know, I think what all of us would imagine is it's sort of like what you see when we're watching the Open Championship. You never know what kind of weather you're going to get. Oftentimes it's windy and it's rainy, and you can see all four seasons in the course of a round of golf. But what you're saying, what you were saying to me is, you know, hey, we get a lot of really nice weather here. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we do have our fair share of traditional Irish weather, if you like, that you're familiar with seeing on your screens, and the same with the Open Championship. You know, we have our winds and our rains, but the one thing is that we're actually on the Gulf Stream here, and we've got a little microclimate. So yeah, people are always surprised to see the likes of palm trees on the course and along the Irish coast, along the southwest Irish coast. We get some stunning weather. We have super flat, calm days, one of which is today, and we've got a spell of a week of it. We had a spell of 4 weeks of it last summer. Beautiful, stunning 20 degrees Celsius plus weather. We just don't tell too many people about it, otherwise everybody would be here, Chris, to be honest. So we kind of give out the myth that it's always raining and pouring and foggy, but we get a bit of that for sure, but we get some beautiful weather as well.
So give me that piece, you know, the opposite side of that coin. What are some of the worst elements that you've seen or you heard people that actually brave those elements and are like, I don't care what it's like outside, I'm playing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're bending forwards into the wind on the occasions that it really does kind of catch the headland. But that makes for a great golf experience as well. You know, you're kind of battling the elements in a beautiful environment and in a magical place with waves crashing 300 feet below you. It makes for a great challenge, but then it's also fun to play on a benign day. And we have a series of tees as well. So if the wind does get up, then don't feel guilty about kind of nudging up on one of the kind of slightly shorter kind of tees, if you like. So it's challenging, but it doesn't beat the crap out of you, because that's, you know, that's no fun in golf, as we know. A good story about some of the highest winds that we've had, and of course if it gets ridiculous, then the course is shut. That's one thing actually, Chris, is we do shut the course at the end of October to the beginning of April. One, the days are a lot shorter over here, and two, the weather can get pretty adverse, even if Gulf Stream or not. And it gives the course a chance to rest. Our membership is predominantly US based, so you know, they'll be playing in warmer climes at that time of year, and it gives the course an opportunity to rest, as I say. But going back to the weather, yeah, no, we've had some ridiculous weather in that closed season, which sees waves crash over the kind of 30-meter lighthouse at the end of the peninsula. We had a storm system come in two years ago where waves crashed over the 17th fairway, and actually the following morning the greenkeepers were picking up, I think it was circa 60 balls that had been returned from the ocean bed onto the 17th fairway. So that's that's pretty extreme. Thankfully we don't get that in the season. Nobody's washed away.
I'm sure that's good news. So to that end, right, and then just going, you know, sticking with the elements for just a moment longer, but you know, in where you're at and all of the elements that you do have to deal with, is it difficult keeping the course in great condition? How do you manage to make sure everything is as beautiful as it looks when we're looking at it online?
Well, I mean, we've got a team of 20 greenkeepers headed up by our superintendent, Neil Deasy, who's just, incredible individual, and he's got a heck of a team working alongside him with five landscapers tending to the beautiful planting that we've got around the course as well. We've actually got natural wells on the course from which we can draw fresh water. So say in that period that I was talking of before, where the weather was, for a period of 5 weeks, we had no rain last summer, and a lot of the courses, sadly, in Ireland were kind of really suffering, because there was ban on hose pipes, etc. But we were able to draw from our wells and get out and irrigate the course, and even in that shut period, we have the team working on the course as well, and making a few tweaks here and there over the period, which obviously polishing a diamond effect. There's always something we can do. There's no radical change that we need to make, but whether it's changing a tee or this winter period, we actually changed the eighth green. Again, we had Ron Kirby come over as our consultant, and we just make a few tweaks here and there just to keep it interesting and never stop. Always push the boundaries. You know, if there's something that we can improve, we will. But we're not going to change for the sake of change.
So you mentioned that the predominant members are from the U.S. How many rounds of golf do you guys get played on over there?
So capacity, Chris, is 20,000 rounds a year. So it is, I mean, it is a private members club with limited outside play, but we do work with a few tour operators, and then we open our books for the following season when we shut the course. So from November 2018, you could book for this season, and pretty much within a month we'd sold out. So there's only small pockets of available tea times, and it's the same with the suites that we have on board. They're 90% gone before we open, which is a pleasant problem.
No doubt. And Brad, some of the videos of Old Head show people coming over. You got helicopters, that sort of thing, even though you can't drive to the course. Who are some of the celebrities and folks that you have coming and visiting during the course of the year?
Yeah, so in it was in 1998 when we had Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Payne Stewart, very sadly just before he passed, David Duval, Lee Jansen, and Stuart Appleby. They were down in Waterville and came in here by chopper. They were all amazed. I mean, it was Tiger Woods can be quoted. It's in a book that we're just about to publish, saying it was the most amazing golf experience that he'd had. So that, you know, when we get testimony like that, and that was when the course was only very young. So hopefully it won't be too long until he's back. Maybe when he plays in the Pro-Am at Adair next year, McManus's. Maybe he'll come back. Outside of that, we've had the likes of Michael Douglas, quite a few film stars, sporting celebrities, Michael Jordan, lots of kind of premiership soccer players, football we call it over here. there's lots of guys continually coming through. Tons of them, exactly. Yeah, we're lucky, and say Keith Pelly, who's the head of the European Tour, is a big friend of the course, very nice guy. We like Keith's excellent. I think he's doing a great job with the European Tour, and he's certainly a good friend of Old Head. So I'm sure he'll bring some of the players in when the Irish Open is on at Lahinch in a month's time. And then, of course, we've got the Open at Port Rush as well this year. So I would imagine quite a few of the tour pros will come down and want to tick their list and want to play Old Head. Yeah, no. The word is kind of getting out there.
Yeah, so on top of all of the celebrities that you've had, I mean, what are some of your favorite stories from things that you've either witnessed or you've heard people talk about with respect to people coming over there?
Yeah, no, I've got a a couple of great stories. One which my kind of father-in-law, Patrick O'Connor, told me, which is a Trump story, where in 2006, Patrick and John were fishing off a boat in Kerry, and they had a phone call from Donald Trump speaking directly to Patrick, and he said, I'd like to buy the old head. And Patrick said to him, well, you can't afford it, Donald. And he said, what do you mean I can't afford it? And he said, well, it's not for sale, therefore you can't afford it. So that went down well, but Patrick's not one to be obstructive or arrogant. He's certainly not like that at all. He's just, you know, he values it. If you sold the old head, you know, you'd get, why would you want to sell it? You would never get anywhere like it ever again. But what he did do was he actually then pointed Donald Trump in the direction of the Meany estate, which a friend of his owned up in Scotland in Aberdeen, and had his friend take Donald Trump's guys up to this Meany estate, and from that, Trump Aberdeen was born. So that's, I find that quite a cool story.
Indeed, and good for him for not selling. I appreciate
exactly,
that very
no,
much.
It's the not for sale situation.
Yes.
There's just, you know, you would never get anywhere as magical as this place again. And we hope that you get here, Chris, in the not too distant to see for yourself.
Yeah, no kidding. It's definitely on my bucket list of places to come and play and take a look at. I appreciate that very much. Brent, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they find out more information about Old Head and potentially book their visit to come see it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, as you said before, if you go to www.oldhead.com, there's some nice imagery on there. There's a little video piece that you can see on there, and direct contacts to our kind of reservations department. Just a click on situation and inquiries facility, if you like, together with our kind of rates. So, yeah, no. Please have a look at the website. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. It'll give you details of our suites and kind of where we're going in the future. As I spoke, it's a very exciting time at the moment, and we'll be in a situation in the not too distant where we can certainly look after a lot more people in Old Head accommodation.
And Brent, what about on social media? How can they follow Old Head and everything you guys are doing and stay up to date that way as well?
Yeah, no, right now we kind of put a bit of stuff on Facebook, so you can get updates through that. And the other social media aspects we're just kind of really building at the moment.
Well, Brent, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your afternoon over there to be a part of the show. It's been a real pleasure having you. I hope you'll come back, keep us updated on everything that's going on there as you talk about, as things expand and you add on and you do more things. We'd sure like to stay up to date with all of that.
No, absolutely no. Thanks for thinking of us. And no, it's been a pleasure. Definitely. Let's keep in touch.
Indeed. Brent, thank you so much. All the best to you and your family. Look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Okay, likewise. Cheers, Chris. And please do get over here. Just let me know and we'll set you up.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Take care, Brent.
Okay, cheers.
That was my conversation with Brent Dornford of Old Head Golf Links. Again, oldhead.com is the website. And give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram as well. When you see the pictures, folks, I'm telling you, you're going to be just as blown away as I was. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to take a listen to this show. As always, folks, we appreciate you all the very most. Join me again Tuesday night when my guests will be two of the top instructors in the game, Kelly Stenzel and my regular guest, Tom Patry, plus golf course designer Trip Davis as well. Folks, we're looking forward to having another great show then, and we hope you'll be a part of it with me. Until then, hit 'em straight, my friends.